వక్రతుండ మహాకాయ సూర్యకోటి సమప్రభా నిర్విఘ్నం కురు మే దేవ సర్వకార్యేషు సర్వదా. గురుర్బ్రహ్మా గురుర్విష్ణు గురుర్దేవో మహేశ్వరా గురు సాక్షాత్ పరబ్రహ్మ తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శివశక్త్యా యుక్తో యది భవతి శక్తః ప్రభవితుం నచే దేవం దేవో నఖలు కుశలః స్పందితుమపి. అతస్త్వామారాధ్యా హరిహర విరించాదిభిరపి ప్రణంతుం స్తోతుం వా కతమకృత పుణ్యః ప్రభవతి.
ఓం శ్రీ సాయిరాం. మై మోస్ట్ లవింగ్ అండ్ ప్రేయర్ఫుల్ సెల్యూటేషన్స్ అట్ ద డివైన్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ అవర్ మోస్ట్ బిలవడ్ భగవాన్ శ్రీ సత్య సాయి బాబా. డియర్ లిస్నర్, you are tuned to Radio Sai Global Harmony on Asia Stream, bringing you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the love and the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Good morning, greetings and Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam, and you're with me, Team Radio Sai Sunil, welcoming you to this morning segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam. Today is the 5th of September 2019. And in India, Teacher's Day is celebrated every year on the 5th of September as a mark of accolade to the part played by the teachers in the society. 5th September is the birth anniversary of a great mentor, Dr. Sarvepalli Radhakrishnan. Paying my deepest gratitude to all my teachers and the teacher of teachers, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, let me now read out to you today's Sai Inspires message. What is Bhagwan's expectation of a good teacher? On the sacred occasion of Teacher's Day in India, let us listen to Bhagwan himself explain, and I quote, "A teacher is like a guidepost. If the guidepost itself is loose, how can it point to the right direction? So a teacher should have a steady mind. Only then can one guide the students along the right path. The teacher should impart the human values of satya, dharma, shanti, prema and ahimsa. Many are confused as to what is the foremost among these five values. Love is of paramount importance. Every teacher must teach their students to love and respect their parents, relatives, and all fellow beings. Teachers must have a pure heart and virtues like adherence to truth, good conduct, duty, devotion, and discipline, so that they can impart the same to the students. He or she alone who imparts these virtues to students is a teacher in the true sense. The whole world will prosper when students tread along the right path. Hence, it is essential on the part of a teacher whom the students are bound to emulate to cultivate virtues." Unquote. This was taken from a divine discourse delivered by Bhagwan on September 29th, 2000. Dear listener, the time right now in our studios is 45 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. Today in Divine Glory, I have lined up for you readings from the English version of the book Sri Sai Satcharitra by Sri Hemadpant, followed by the first part of a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity Conversation with Miss Maria Quaz and Sister Karuna that was recorded in July of 2019. First, Sri Sai Satcharitra is an account of the life and teachings of Sai Baba of Shirdi by Sri Hemadpant. We are thankful to Vasanti Sundaram for reading out the contents from this holy book and to Veeramani Kannan for the melodious musical support. Wishing you all a holy and blessed Thursday and a wonderful day ahead. And here it is for your listening pleasure.
Chapter 6. Ram Navami Festival and Masjid Repairs. Efficacy of the touch of the Guru's hand. Ram Navami Festival, its origin, transformation, repairs of the Masjid. Before describing Ram Navami Festival and Masjid repairs, the author makes some preliminary remarks about Sadguru as follows. Efficacy of the touch of the Guru's hand. When Sadguru is the boatsman, he is sure to carry us safely and easily beyond the worldly ocean. The word Sadguru brings to mind Sai Baba, the perfect master. He appears to me as if standing before me and applying Udi to my forehead and placing his hand of blessing on my head. Then joy fills my heart and love overflows through my eyes. Wonderful is the power of the touch of Guru's hand. The subtle body, consisting of thoughts and desires, which cannot be burnt by the gross fire, is destroyed by the mere touch of the Guru's hand. And the sins of many past births are cleaned and washed away. Even the speech of those who feel agitated when they hear religious and godly talks attain calmness. The sight of Sai Baba's handsome form chokes our throat with joy, makes the eyes overflow with tears, and overwhelms the heart with emotions. It awakens in us, I am He, Brahma consciousness, manifests the joy of self-realization, and dissolving the distinction of I and Thou, makes us one with the Supreme. When I begin to read scriptures, at every step I am reminded of my Sadguru, Sai Baba, who assumes the form of Rama or Krishna and makes me listen to his life. For instance, when I sit to listen to Bhagavat, Sai becomes Krishna from top to toe, and I think he sings the Bhagavat or Uddhav Gita for the welfare of the devotees. When I myself start to write something, I cannot compose a few words or sentences, but when he, of his own accord, makes me write, I go on writing, and there is no end to it. When the disciple's egoism props up, he presses it down with his hand and gives him his own power, makes him gain his object, and thus satisfies and blesses him. If anyone prostrates before Sai and surrenders heart and soul to him, then all the chief objects of life, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, are easily attained unsolicitedly. Four parts of karma, dhyan, yoga, and bhakti lead us separately to God. Of this, the path of bhakti is thorny and full of pits and ditches, and thus difficult to travel. But if you, relying on your Sadguru, avoid the pits and thorns and walk straight, it will take you to the destination, says Sai Baba. After philosophizing about the self-existent Brahma, his power to create the world and the world created, and stating that all these three are ultimately one and the same, the author quotes Sai Baba's words, guaranteeing the welfare of the bhaktas. In Baba's words, there will never be any dearth or scarcity regarding food and clothes in my devotee's home. It is my special characteristic that I shall always look to and provide for the welfare of those devotees who worship me wholeheartedly with their minds ever fixed on me. Lord Krishna has also said the same in the Gita. Therefore, strive not much for food and clothes. If you want anything, beg of the Lord, renounce worldly honors, try to get Lord's grace and blessings, and be honored in his court. Do not be deluded by worldly honor. The form of the deity should be firmly fixed in the mind. Let all the senses and mind be ever devoted to the worship of the Lord. Let there be no attraction for any other thing. Fix the mind in remembering me always, so that it will not wander elsewhere, towards body, wealth and home. Then it will be calm, peaceful and carefree. This is a sign of the mind being well engaged in good company. If the mind is vagrant, it cannot be called well merged in Him. After quoting these words, the author goes on to relate the story of Ram Navami festival in Shirdi. As Ram Navami is the most celebrated festival at Shirdi, another fuller account as published in Sri Sai Leela magazine is also referred to, and a summary of the festival as related in both these accounts is attempted here. Origin. One Mr. Gopal Rao Gund was a surveyor in survey department at Kopargaon. He was a great devotee of Baba. He had three wives but had no issue. With Sai Baba's blessings, a son was born to him. In the joy that he felt due to this, the idea of celebrating a fair or Urus occurred to him in the year 1897. And he placed it for consideration before other Shirdi devotees, Tatya Patil, Dada Kote Patil, and Madhav Rav Deshpande, also known as Shama. They all approved of the idea and got for it Sai Baba's permission and blessings. Then, an application for getting the collector's sanction for celebrating the Urus was made. But as the village Kulkarni reported against holding the fair, the sanction was refused. But, as Sai Baba had blessed it, they tried again and ultimately succeeded in getting the collector's sanction. The day for the Urus was fixed on the Ram Navami day, after having consultation with Sai Baba. It seems he had some purpose in this, that is, the unification of the two festivals, the Urus and the Ram Navami, and the unification of the two communities, the Hindus and the Muslims. As future events showed, this end or object was duly achieved. Though the permission was obtained, other difficulties cropped up. Shirdi was a village and there was scarcity of water. There were two wells in the village. The one in use dried up soon and the water from the second was brackish. This brackish water was turned sweet by Sai Baba by putting flowers into it. As the water of this well was insufficient, Tatya Patil had to arrange to get water from outside. Temporary shops were to be constructed and wrestling bounds arranged. Gopal Rao Gund had a friend by name Damu Anakasar of Ahmednagar. He also was similarly unhappy in the matter of progeny, though he had two wives. He too was blessed by Sai Baba with sons, and Mr. Gund prevailed upon his friend to prepare and supply one flag for the procession of the fair. He also succeeded in inducing Mr. Nana Sahib Nimonkar to supply another flag. Both these flags were taken in procession through the village and finally fixed at the two corners of the masjid, which is called by Sai Baba as Dwarka Mai. This is being done even now. The Chandan procession. There was another procession which was started in this fair. The idea of Chandan procession originated with one Mr. Amir Shakar Dalal, a Muslim Bhakta from Kurla. This procession is held in honor of great Muslim saints. Chandan paste and scrappings are put in the thali and carried with incense burning before them in procession to the accompaniment of band and music through the village. And then, after returning to the masjid, the contents of the dishes are thrown on the nimbar and walls of the masjid with hands. This work was managed by Mr. Amir Shakar for the first 3 years and then later by his wife. So on the same day, the two processions, the flags by the Hindus and the Chandan by the Muslims, went on side by side and is still going on without any problem. Arrangement. This day was very dear and sacred to the devotees of Sai Baba. Most of them turned up for the occasion and took part in the management of the fair. Tatya Kote Patil looked to all outward affairs, while the internal management was entirely left to Radha Krishnamai, a female devotee of Baba. Her residence was full of guests on the occasion, and she had to look after their needs and also arrange for all the paraphernalia of the fair. Another work which she willingly did was to clean and whitewash the entire masjid, its wall and floor, which were blackened and were full of soot on account of the ever-burning dhuni of Sai Baba. This work she did during the night, when Sai Baba went to sleep every alternate day in the chavadi. She had to take out all the things, including the dhuni, and after thorough cleaning and whitewashing, replace them as they were before. Feeding the poor, which was so dear to Sai Baba, was also a great item in this fair. For this purpose, cooking on a grand scale and preparing various sweet dishes was done in Radha Krishnamai's lodging, and various rich and wealthy devotees took a leading part in this affair. Transformation of Urus into Ram Navami Festival. Things were going on in this way, and the fair was gradually increasing in importance till 1912, when a change took place. That year, one devotee, Mr. Krishna Rao Jogeshwar Bhisham, the author of Sai Sagunapasana, came for the fair with Dada Sahib Kharpade of Amravati and was staying on the previous day in the Dikshit Vada. While he was lying on the veranda, and while Mr. Lakshman Rao, alias Kaka Mahajani, was going with puja materials to the masjid, a new thought arose in his mind, and he accosted the latter thus: "There is some providential arrangement in the fact that the Urus of fair is celebrated in Shirdi on the Ram Navami day. The Ram Navami day is very dear to all the Hindus. Then why not begin the Ram Navami festival, the celebration of the birth of Sri Ram, on this day here?" Kaka Mahajani liked the idea, and it was arranged to get Baba's permission in this matter. The main difficulty was how to secure a Haridas who would do the kirtans and sing the glories of the Lord on this occasion. But Bhishma solved this difficulty by saying that his Ram Akhyan, the composition on Rama's birth, was ready, and he would do the kirtan himself, while Kaka Mahajani should play on the harmonium. It was also arranged to get the Suntavada, which is the ginger powder mixed with sugar, as prasad, was prepared by Radha Krishnamai. So they immediately went to the masjid to get Baba's permission. Baba, who knew all the things and what was happening there, asked Mahajani what was going on in the Vada. Being rather perturbed, Mahajani could not understand the importance of the question, and he remained silent. Baba then asked Bhishma what he had to say. He explained the idea of celebrating Ram Navami festival and asked for Baba's permission, and Baba gladly gave it. All rejoiced and made preparations for the Jayanti festival. Next day, the masjid was decorated with buntings, a cradle was supplied by Radha Krishnamai and placed in front of Baba's seat, and the proceedings started. Bhishma stood up for kirtan and Mahajani played on the harmonium. Sai Baba sent a man to call Mahajani. Mahajani hesitated, doubting whether Baba would allow the festival to go on. But when he went to Baba, the latter asked him what was going on and why the cradle was placed there. He answered Ram Navami festival had commenced and the cradle was put on for that purpose. Baba took a garland from the nimbar and placed it around his neck and sent another garland for Bhishma. Then the kirtan commenced. When it came to a close, sounds of victory to Ram went up, and gulal, red powder, was thrown all around amidst band and music. Everybody was overjoyed when suddenly a roar was heard. The red powder thrown promiscuously went up and somehow fell into Baba's eyes. Baba got wild and began to scold and abuse loudly. People got frightened by this and began to take to their heels. The intimate devotees who knew Baba well took these scoldings and outpourings of Baba as blessings in disguise. They thought that when Ram was born, it was proper for Baba to get wild and enraged to kill Ravan and his demons in the form of egoism and wicked thoughts. Besides, they knew that whenever a new thing was undertaken at Shirdi, it was usual with Baba to get wild and angry, and so they kept quiet. Radha Krishnamai was rather afraid and thought Baba might break the cradle, and she asked Mahajani to pull the cradle back. When he went to loosen and unfasten the cradle, Baba went to him and asked him not to remove it. Then after some time, Baba became calm, and that day's program, including Mahapuja and Arati, was finished. Later on, Mr. Mahajani asked Baba for permission to remove the cradle. Baba refused the same, saying the festival was not yet finished. Next day, another kirtan and Gopal Kala ceremony was performed, and then Baba allowed the cradle to be removed. While the Ram Navami festival was thus going on, the procession of the two flags by day and that of the Chandan by night went off with the usual pomp and show. From this time onwards, the Urus of Baba was transformed into the Ram Navami festival. From next year, that is 1913, the items in the program of Ram Navami began to increase. Radha Krishnamai started a Naam Saptah, singing the glory of God's name continuously day and night for 7 days, from 11th day of Chaitra. For this, all devotees took part by turns, and she also joined in sometimes early in the morning. As Ram Navami festival is celebrated in many parts all over the country, the difficulty of getting a Haridas was felt again. But 5 or 6 days before the festival, Mahajani incidentally met Balabhuva, who was known as modern Tukaram, and got him to do the Kirtan that year. The next year, in 1914, another Balabhuva Satarkar of Birhat Siddhak Kavate in district Satara could not act as a Haridas in his own town, as plague was prevailing there, and he came to Shirdi. With Baba's permission, which was secured through Kaka Sahib Dikshit, he did the Kirtan and was sufficiently recompensed for his labor. The difficulty of getting a new Haridas every year was finally solved from 1914 by Sai Baba, as he entrusted this function to Das Ganu Maharaj permanently, and since then he has been successfully and creditably conducting that function so far. Since 1912, this festival began to grow gradually year by year. From the 8th to the 12th of Chaitra, Shirdi looked like a beehive of people. Shops began to increase, celebrated wrestlers took part in wrestling bouts, feeding of the poor was done on a grander scale. Hard work and sincere efforts of Radha Krishnamai turned Shirdi into a sansthan. A beautiful horse, a palanquin, chariot and many silver items, utensils, pots, buckets, pictures, mirrors were presented. Elephants were also sent for the procession. Though all this increased enormously, Sai Baba ignored everything and maintained his simplicity and modesty as before. It is to be noted that both the Hindus and Mohammedans have been working in unison in both the processions during the entire festival, and there has been no confrontation or quarrel between them at all so far. First, about 5,000 to 7,000 people used to gather, but that figure went up to 75,000 in some years. Still, there was no outbreak of any epidemic disease nor any riots worth the name during the past many years. Repairs to the Masjid. Another important idea occurred to Gopal Gund. Just as he started the Uruz of fair, he thought he should repair and renovate the Masjid. So, in order to carry out the repairs, he collected stones and got them dressed. But this work was not assigned to him. This was reserved for Nana Sahib Chandorkar and the pavement work for Kaka Sahib Dikshit. Initially, Baba was unwilling to allow them to have these works done. But with the intervention of Mahal Sapati, a local devotee of Baba, his permission was secured. Baba took a small gaddi for his seat, discarding the usual piece of sackcloth used until then. In 1911, the Sabha Mandap was also put in order with great labor and effort. The open space in front of the masjid was very small and inconvenient. Kaka Sahib Dikshit wanted to extend it and put a roofing on it. At great expense, he got iron posts, pillars and trusses and started the work. At night, all the devotees worked hard and fixed the posts. But Baba, when he returned from Chavadi next morning, uprooted them all and threw them out. Once it so happened that Baba got very excited, caught a pole with one hand and began to shake and uproot it, and with the other hand caught the neck of Tatya Patil. He took by force Tatya's feta, struck a match, set it on fire and threw it in a pit. At that time Baba's eyes flashed like burning embers. No one dared to look at him. All got terribly frightened. Baba took out a rupee from his pocket and threw it there as if it were an offering on an auspicious occasion. Tatya was also much frightened. No one knew what was going on and what was going to happen to Tatya, and no one dared to interfere. Bhagoji Shinde, the leper devotee of Baba, made a bold advance, but he was pushed aside by Baba. Madhav Rao was also similarly treated, pelted with brick pieces. So all those who went to intercede were similarly dealt with. But after some time, Baba's anger cooled down. He sent for a shopkeeper, got from him an embroidered feta, and himself tied it on Tatya's head, as if he was being given a special honor. All the people were wonderstruck to see the strange behavior of Baba. They were at a loss to know what enraged Baba so suddenly and what led him to assault Tatya Patil and why his anger cooled down the next moment. Baba was sometimes very calm and quiet and talked sweet things with love, but suddenly, with or without any pretext, got enraged. Many such incidents may be related, but I do not know which to choose and which to omit. I therefore refer them as they occur to me. In the next chapter, the question whether Baba was a Hindu or a Muslim will be taken up, and his yogic practices and powers and other matters will also be dealt with. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all. Chapter 7. Wonderful Incarnation. Behavior of Sai Baba. His yogic practices. His all-pervasiveness and mercy. Leper devotees' service. Master Kharpade's plague case. And going to Pandharpur. Wonderful Incarnation. Sai Baba knew all yogic practices. He was well versed in the 6 processes, including dhauti, stomach cleaning by a moistened piece of linen, khanda yoga, separating his limbs and joining them again, and samadhi. If you think that he was a Hindu, he looked like a Yavan, and if you thought him to be a Yavan, he looked like a pious Hindu. No one definitely knew whether he was a Hindu or a Muslim. He celebrated the Hindu festival of Ram Navami with all due formalities and at the same time permitted the Chandan procession of the Muslims. He encouraged wrestling bouts in this festival. When the Gokulashtami came, he got the Gopal Kala ceremony duly performed, and on Eid festivals he allowed the Muslims to say their prayers in his masjid. Once, during a Muharram festival, some Mohammedans proposed to construct a tazia or tabut in the masjid, keep it there for some days, and later take it in a procession through the village. Sai Baba allowed the keeping of the tabut for 4 days, and on the 5th day got it removed from the masjid without the least compunction. If we say that he was a Muslim, his ears were pierced, and if you think that he was a Hindu, he advocated the practice of circumcision, though according to Mr. Nana Saheb Chandorkar, who observed him closely, he was not himself circumcised. If you call him Hindu, he always lived in the masjid. If Muslim, he had always a dhuni, sacred fire there. And the following things which are contrary to Muslim religion: grinding on the handmill, blowing of the conch and bells, oblation in the fire, bhajan, giving of food and worship of Baba's feet by means of argya. All these were allowed there. If you think that he was a Muslim, the best of Brahmins and Agnihotris, leaving aside the orthodox ways, fell prostrate at his feet. Those who went to make inquiries about his caste were dumbfounded and were captured by his darshan. So no one could definitely decide whether Sai Baba was a Hindu or a Muslim. This is no wonder, for he who completely surrenders himself to the Lord by getting rid of his egoism and body consciousness thus becomes one with him and has nothing to do between any questions of caste or nationality. Baba saw no difference between any 2 castes and even between beings. He took meat and fish with fakirs but did not grumble when dogs touched the dishes with their mouths. Such a unique and wonderful incarnation was Sai Baba. On account of the merits in my past birth, I had the good fortune to sit at his feet and enjoy his blessed company. The joy and delight I derived from there was incomparable. In fact, Sai Baba was pure anand and consciousness. I cannot sufficiently describe him, his greatness and uniqueness. He took delight at his feet, was established in his own self. Many sannyasis, sadhaks and all sorts of men aspiring for salvation came to Sai Baba. He always walked, talked and laughed with them and always uttered Allah Malik. He never liked discussion or disputation. He was always calm and controlled. Though irritable at times, always preached Vedanta, and nobody knew till the last who was Baba. Princess and poor people were treated alike by him. He knew the inmost secrets of all, and when he gave expression to them, all were surprised. He was a repository of all knowledge. Still, he feigned ignorance. Such were the characteristics of Sai Baba. Though he had a human body, his deeds testified to his godhood. All people considered him as a god in Shirdi. Behavior of Sai Baba. Ignorant that I am, I cannot describe Baba's miracles. He got almost all the temples in Shirdi repaired. Through Tatya Patil, the temples of Shani, Ganpati, Shankar Parvati, village deity and Maruti were put in order. His charity was also remarkable. The money he used to collect as Dakshina was freely distributed. 20 rupees to some, 15 or 50 to others every day. People were immensely benefited by having Baba's darshan. Some became hale and hearty. Wicked people were turned into good ones. Kushta or leprosy was cured in some cases. Many got their desires fulfilled without any medicine being put in the eyes. Some blind men got back the sight, and some lame ones got back the limbs. Nobody could see the end of his extraordinary greatness. His fame spread far and wide, and pilgrims from all sides flocked to Shirdi. Baba had his asana near the dhuni and always rested there. He sat there in meditation, sometimes even without a bath. He used to tie a small white turban on his head and wear a clean dhotar around his waist and a shirt on his body. This was his attire in the beginning. He first practiced medicine in the village, examined patients and gave them medicines. He was always successful and he became famous as a hakim or a doctor. A curious case may be narrated here. One deputy had his eyes quite red and swollen. No doctor was available in Shirdi. The other devotees took him to Baba. In such cases, other doctors would use ointments, anjans or cow's milk and camphorated drugs. But Baba's remedy was quite unique. He pounded some biba and made two balls of them and thrust them one on each eye of the patient and wrapped a cloth around them. Next day, the bandage was removed and water was poured over them. The inflammation subsided and the pupils became white and clear. Though the eyes are very delicate, the biba caused no hurt but removed the disease of the eyes. Many such cases were cured, and this is only an instance in this regard.
Sai Baba, Sai Baba, Shri Guru Sai Baba.
Sai Baba, Sai Baba, Satguru Shirdi Baba.
Mangalagiridhar Sai Baba,
Mangalagiridhar Sai Baba,
Shri Guru Purna Sai Baba,
Shri Guru Purna Sai Baba,
Karuna Sagar Sai Baba,
Karuna Sagar Sai Baba,
Nitya Niranjana Sai Baba,
Nitya Niranjana Sai Baba.
Sai Baba, Sai Baba, Shri Guru Sai Baba.
Sai Baba, Sai Baba, Satguru Shirdi Baba.
Tune into Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to a very special episode of Tris with Divinity. Today is the 26th of July 2019, and exactly 51 years ago, in the month of July, on 4th of July, which is important to Americans, in 1968, Baba made a declaration. Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba said, and I quote him, "Let the different faiths exist. Let them flourish. Let the glory of God be sung in all languages and in a variety of tunes." Unquote. He always emphasized the unity of faiths among mankind, honoring different religious traditions, emerged a group of people who are today well known around the world as Sarva Dharma Choir, and they go around translating their master's teaching, which I just quoted to you, by singing the glory of God in his many names and forms and in several languages. And sitting across from me is Ms. Maria Kwas. Ms. Maria Kwas is the conductor of the Sarva Dharma Choir, and she also is the central coordinator for Zone 7 of the Satya Sai International Organization. Zone 7 includes 5 Baltic countries, which are Finland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland. Sai Ram, Sister Maria, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, Sister Karuna. Sai Ram, first of all, I thank you, Radio Sai, very much to invite me and to give me this possibilities to share.
The invite is from Bhagwan.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what I want to emphasize, especially to our beloved Bhagavan. This is for me unusual situation, unusual opportunity that he gives me this task. And I ask him from the bottom of my heart to guide me through this interview and to speak through me, as I always ask him for this. Sai Ram.
And I say ditto to that for me too. Mm-hmm. Swami should think and speak through me. Sister Maria, the Sarvadharma choir has now acquired an international repute, but it started as a very small venture of a group of people who had a very good intention. Baba has said, sing the glory of God in any form, in any language, in many languages, let's do it. So what can you tell us about the origin of the Sarvadharma choir?
Yeah, exactly like you mentioned, we started a long time ago, 10 years ago. It was 2009, when on May 2009, I don't remember exactly the date, 21st, I think, in Poland happens to be an international conference for our Zone 7 for all the active person in the organization. All the active persons came. It was plenty of us. This is the tradition. Every 3 years we have this kind of meetings in our region. That time I was national coordinator, then president of the country, and I was responsible for the cultural program as well, for everything but for the cultural program. This idea came very simple. So I just wanted to make use of this older lady, which we have in our centers. It was actually many of them. And I thought, because I knew that they have beautiful voices, I want to use the voices and make a small choir. Mm-hmm. And first of all, let them feel that they are really needed, that they can do something beautiful, that, you know, just to give them chance to see and to feel how much they are needed. So this was the idea behind. And I gathered these ladies, and we started to make a rehearsal. But coincidentally, some other people also wanted to sing with the choir. Mm-hmm. So it started like this. It was a really small performance, like maybe 10 songs, not more, uh-huh, just for the events, this international meeting.
Conferences.
And we sang. And after this program, there was somebody from the coordinators who says, Maria, it was beautiful. When you will go with this program to Baba?
Oh.
And I was pretty sure it's a wonderful joke. I never thought about it because, you know, this was really, for me, very ordinary program just to give joy. That's all.
To these elderly senior citizens.
Absolutely to them. And it happens that we give a big joy to all the audience, to all the public. They like it very much. But I never thought that we can do something more out of this. And then, you know, the people got this idea and they start to ask me when we will go, when we will do the choir, when we will go to Baba. This was 2009, so we knew that you have plenty of time. But I was not ready to guide the choir, not at all. You know, my profession is not to be a conductor, although I have finished the theater school. And we study how to conduct and to the rhythm and everything, but I have never been teach as a conductor.
Are you a musician?
Yeah, somehow, from heart. I play some instruments. I play little bit piano, I play guitar.
I see.
The first performances started with my guitar.
Okay.
Anyway, so this was so simple. And then the members start to push me, Maria, we would like to prepare program. I was really absolutely sure this is not possible. We do not have singers. I am not conductor, etc. We do not have musicians. Mm. How? And this idea was not in my mind, not at all. But when they push me, I start to search for some conductor.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it. But unfortunately, or fortunately, like I may say now, they do not want to work without money.
Okay.
Yeah, they want to help us, they want to conduct, but of course they should be paid for the payment. So very soon I recognized, I said, okay, this choir member, they're amateur, and I am also not professional conductor, let us try. So, and also the idea, even more than to sing and to organize this choir, was to gather people, the devotees. You know, this time, 2009, we have a quite big crisis in Poland inside our organization. People start to run out of the organization. There was not many activities, etc. It started to be very weak inside our organization.
What was the reason?
I don't know. You know, most probably it's one up, down, up, down. This was also, this previous reason common in Europe with Connie Larson, David Bowie, you know, this kind of rumors, etc. And we lost people. And I thought, wow, if they have such big enthusiasm to sing and to meet together, I will use this tool as a choir for
binding people.
Exactly this. Yeah, this was the idea behind, nothing else.
Mm.
And indeed, I thought, because this was my idea and style of thinking about the meeting every month together, I make announcements, everyone who wants to participate, who wants to be a member of the choir, you may come and join us. And then people were calling me, but I would like to be a member, but I cannot know how to sing. I said, if you speak, I can teach you how to sing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then I can also sign up.
Yeah,
take people from India.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody can sing, you know.
Because I can speak, can't sing, teach me.
Yeah, this is not the problem at all, you know.
Ah.
It's a matter only of time.
Some
people are more ready for this and some need more practice, but everybody can sing. If you can only discover, you know, discriminate one song and another song, that this is this, it means you can hear properly and you can sing properly. It's no problem. It's a matter of practice.
There is hope for everyone.
For sure.
Okay.
But it was, it was too big surprise for me, because out of all these members, 90 people came for the first meeting. I was shocked. Of course, I wanted people.
But this was overwhelming.
But this was too much. And plus, I start to check the possibilities of the members, of the future members. And it's happened that from out of the 90, only 9 people were able of the first rehearsal to sing something.
Jai Sai Ram.
So I was really
shocked. There were 81
shocked,
who needed training.
And I was really shocked. I said, what I have done? This is too much, Swami. I cannot manage. So many people, they have no idea. Really? And you know, they don't know how to open the mouth, how to give sound, nothing. Just like, I said, So we start really, because they have a lot of enthusiasm and they want it. So we start this rehearsal from physical exercise.
Oh.
We've done really a lot of physical exercise. Because the people were close, you know, they were inner with some troubles, problems, etc. And maybe, you know, if you would like to sing and give your voice, you need to open yourself and first of all to open your heart. Because the sound, and especially sound for God, music for God, needs to be from the heart.
And if you're all emotionally cloistered, you're not going to be able to project.
Absolutely. This is the truth. This is the truth. You know, many people are psychological close, you know, lot of troubles, problems, etc. So first of all, what I decided to do, to let them be more open, you know, more joyful, and we made a lot of practice. You know, we physical practice, we practice our voices, like impostation. I don't know if you, of course, because I am very keen about articulation in our language, about good Polish language. So I really teach them everything, you know, but we have, at the same time, we have a lot of fun. We laugh. We really enjoy our company. So these meetings start to be really joyful meetings. And we always, I prepare some Baba's quotation, some part of his discourses. So it become a satsang, actually. So we have beautiful meetings, beautiful satsang. We, you know, the people feel more free and free because they start to be more open. I build a self-confidence. This is very important if you want to sing. So it started to be a very nice group, and more people came and more. And finally, we start to learn songs, one, second, third. And what was lack in the choir, still we have been lack of unity and harmony. And I remember exactly, it was a time when Swami do not allow the choir to sing if he recognized, he knew that is lack of harmony and unity and love in the choir. I remember a few examples from different countries, which I will not mention now, when they came ready with beautiful program, with musicians ready to sing, and Swami forbid them, Swami stopped them, said no, no unity in the group, no unity, not love. You can only when it will be unity and love and harmony.
We can present it to God only then.
Exactly. This was the idea behind.
No matter how talented we are, it doesn't matter to Swami. It has to be pure.
Absolutely. And this was why we decided to work for the unity and love.
Good strategy, Maria.
Karuna, believe me, it was difficult.
I can imagine.
90 personalities.
I know.
This was really difficult, but step by step, we start to understand each other, to fit to each other, to communicate better, to use sweet language, to use, you know, smile, to use good behavior. And like this, the group start working in unity and love. And, you know, I spoke with Swami and said, Swami, maybe the choir will be not perfect, but first of all, I want love and unity, you know, go out from this choir. And this was like this, but why I mention about it? Because it took us 2 years to prepare everything, you know, to be group, to be united, to feel love, and to sing, from the heart. And happens, unfortunately, that we do not manage to give program when Swami was alive. We could came on February, but because the prices of the flights were extremely expensive, we resigned and we decided to come for Guru Purnima.
We came
for Guru Purnima 2011.
Bhagavan had left the body, but that is when the Mahasannidhi was unveiled. For the first time,
yes.
Guru Purnima 2011.
Exactly.
It was a very special occasion for millions of us.
Yeah, and for millions of us and for the choir also. You know, we decided even though it was a big shock, of course, I will not mention now, but it was a big shock. I was not sure if the choir will still stay together. But then we decided that even though that Swami is not more in his body, we are singing for him. We prepared the program. So we decided to go. And it was one of the first miracle of Swami, you know, because 90 persons want to join, but the prices were of the, you know, British Airlines that time. I remember it was very high. Plus they want to take the families. But, you know, some of the members of the choir, they were three people from the family, like mother, daughter, and...
So three tickets. Very expensive.
Very lot of couples.
Yes.
So this was, you know, in Poland, this is still difficult to compare the salary with Western countries.
Yes.
So it was expensive. But we've done our best. We decided to go. Not many of people. We have been still waiting. Maybe some miracle, and it happens. You will not believe 2 weeks before our departure, Lufthansa gives special promotion for India.
Wow!
The price were reduced less than half. Unbelievable, you know.
So exciting.
It never was such price, such
how compassionate to Swami and how thoughtful.
This was unbelievable. I never came to India with such low price like that time.
Time.
And then the families.
Everybody wanted to get on.
So on this moment, I brought to India together 126 people from Poland.
Wow. And the number again adds up to 9.
Yeah, exactly. And it was that time, it was not Sarvadharma yet called. Uh-huh. This was the Polish Sarvadharma, let's say. And to our surprise, you know, people here in India, in Puttaparthi, they do not have yet foreigners. They do not know how many foreigners will joy and come and visit Puttaparthi after Swami pass. So they really enjoy so much. They treat us like, I don't know, like stars. There was so much of love towards us because of our program. And this funny story is that when finally we finished the program, I knew that it was some mistakes. So I sat down in my corner and I prayed to Swami and I said, Swami, I'm so sorry. It was not perfect. I'm so sorry. And then I hear very loud inside me, you want love or perfection?
Oh.
Because I was asking for love, you know.
Yeah.
I told them, if we will sing with love, everything other will come.
Right.
So, and something more I want to add, because although we do not manage to sing in his presence, and we have been very sorry about it. After a few months, I bought it here, but I have no courage to look this movie. You know, this last movie dedicated the last part of Swami, the last journey
right.
to hospital and back.
Yeah.
This is the eternal,
yeah.
this love in the eternity.
The eternal dissolves into eternity.
Exactly.
Yes.
Thank you. So I bought this movie here, but for 3 months or 4 months, even more, I don't remember, I have no courage to look at the movie because I knew
very
what
sad.
About
yeah.
is this movie. And then suddenly one guy asked me, did you saw the movie? I said, no, not yet. You should, because you will have surprise there. I said, what kind of surprise I could have there in this movie? But happens that I was sick in my bed. And I have time finally, so I got carried. I was alone at home. It was quite night. And I took my computer and I looked at the movie, full of tears, of course. And then, on the end of the movie, Karuna, I could not believe. They add our program to this last journey of Swami.
Oh, my God.
Yes. This was, I can...
What
really,
a validation, what a sweet pat on your back from the Lord himself.
You know, always when I speak about it, I really feel tears in my throat. And
yes, I can relate to that. This must be such...
I was alone at home. I could not believe. I was, you know, I cry and cry. And it was like 11:30. I called to my friends because I want to share. Mm-hmm. This was such a miracle of Swami, because he knew how much we wanted to be on his presence and to give the first program
yeah.
on his presence.
Yeah.
So he added us to this, you know, when you will see the movie now, you can see on the end of the movie, we are in our folklore dress and I bow to Samadhi and it's so beautiful. So like this, it starts. And after some people left, because mostly they would like to sing for the physical Swami. And, you know, like in the generally, some people left from the organization, from the movement. But we decided, the people wanted, so we decided to practice more. And since that, 10 years pass. I cannot believe, really, I cannot believe myself that it 10
years have gone by.
Yeah, it's gone by. Yeah, 10 years.
And recently you had a very phenomenal presentation.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Can you tell us about that?
Well,
by the way, Maria, you reside in Warsaw, Poland,
yes,
right?
Okay. Yes, yes. I stay in Warsaw.
But your musicians are from all these
yeah,
different countries.
This is like the idea, you know, I will come to this first. When we came back from the first concert,
right?
You know, then when I noticed that I can unite people from Poland and I become central coordinator, then I thought, this is also a wonderful idea and opportunity to unite all the region.
Yes.
So I invited people from the region, from the other countries, to be part members of the Sarvadharma choir. And they brought their own songs. And then Swami gave me this idea. Call it Sarvadharma. Because we have now songs from five countries, from different, in different languages, you know. So like this, we start to sing in Lithuanian, Latvian, Estonian language, Polish, Russian, different languages, of course Sanskrit and English language. But then more and more new songs, and they had this idea to realize Sarva Dharma, what is behind this. I find it, this is the gift from Baba, to come to the audience, to come to the public with his message through songs. So then we start to search songs all over the world, in different countries, different paths, spiritual paths, religion, etc. So the program start to grow, grow and grow. Now we are songs and we sing in 18 languages.
Wow, what are those languages?
Yeah, this is also out of this, which I mentioned.
Mentioned, yeah.
Yeah, it's also Arabic, Hebrew, Swahili, Yoruba. Yeah, we sing in Italian language and in Latin language. Many, I don't recall all of them, but as we can't last time, it is like we sing in French, we sing also, in Spanish we sing also.
Yes.
We have different songs in different, and you know, this is unbelievable because those people, you must remember, those people from the choir, some of them are very well educated, some are ordinary people without special education, but with big educare, let's say. And suddenly, they start to learn languages, because of course we need to know the meanings.
Yes.
And the proper pronunciation.
Correct.
And they start to know the geography, because we need to know
where is this coming
Yoruba
from, what is the origin,
dialect or Swahili or whatever.
Correct.
And they start to have such self-confidence, you know, like grandmas from the home, which were not very much respected as elder people, not very useful, let's say. Suddenly, the grandchildren, the family is coming for the concert of grandma, because we have plenty of concert. And always, because of Swami, this concert finish with such standing ovation, with such big applause, you know. So, the all members are so proud, let's say, and so happy.
Such a win-win situation.
Yeah.
It's helping everybody.
This is unbelievable, you know. And I remember one lady, she was member of our choir and she passed, unfortunately. She has some kind of vision, and she once told me, Maria, you do not understand what the choir is doing to the people. It's not only that you are singing and you are gathered together and you have this satsang. This is such incredible change for all these people, for the environment, you know, for the wherever you sing, for the public, for everything. So this is so, since that time we have plenty of, and this is so much of miracles, really. I cannot recall all of them, but this is miracle after miracle. This is like Swami is really guiding us. Like for the first performance, you know, it was we already, yes, this was like 1 year, when we do not have yet the public meetings, public concerts, and I was invited for one party, let's say. I do not wanted go for this party because of many reasons. But finally, this owner, the lady of the party, she asked me and she told me she is very sick. So she wants me to be, because maybe this is the last part of her life. So this was like pushing me. I came. Happens that it was a couple of evangelic church, a pastor, you know, him and his wife. we start to talk about some politic things, and he says to me, but your philosophy is very close to Indian philosophy. And I says, oh, yeah, could be. And my friend says, yeah, because she's going every time to India, every year. And he asked me, are you going to see Satya Sai Baba? I was so surprised on this kind of party. I will never expect anybody give me this question. And I says, yeah. And he has with himself a book, Sai Baba Speak to Westerners, which is very popular in Europe. And he was giving a quotation on to all the people, you know. This was unbelievable.
Even the party was a satsang.
Yes, yes. Even the party became a satsang. They asked me to take guitar and to play, and I was a little bit ashamed. But this owner, the lady, she knows that I play. She asked me, what I have done? I play bhajans.
Good for
really,
you, Maria.
They do not understand, but the energy, they said, what are you singing? This is so beautiful. This is so marvelous. This is what I know best, is bhajans. So I was really singing.
Clever girl.
End of the meeting, we say goodbye to this couple. They invited me to their church. And they says, where are you going now? And I said, I'm going to India, of course. Alone? I said, no, with group. Big group? I said, yeah, 96 people. What? How? I said, yeah, this is a choir. And they stood at me and looked, what is it? I said, this is a choir. And do you know the conductor of the choir? I said, yeah, stay in front of you. They said, no, unbelievable. We, on our way to this party, we pray to God to help us to find a choir. Because very soon, in November, should be a big international interfaith meeting. And we, as Evangelic Church, we are responsible for this culture program. And we thought with my wife, it will be fantastic to get a choir. And we came for this party. And you are telling us that you are conductor of international choir. You know, so this was, yeah, and he organized our first concerts, two concerts, which we sang in Catholic Church and we sang in some culture event house. And like this, we start to get some invitation. But you know, what is beautiful, we never ask for giving concert.
You're always invited.
We are always invited. So we knew exactly that he wants us to sing here or here. But we come, as I mentioned in the introduction in Kulwant Hall, that we have a lot of wonderful adventure, beautiful spiritual experiences and joy, etc. But we face also a lot of challenges and obstacles. You know, it's a little bit difficult in Catholic country still to adore Krishna, Buddha, Allah, Rama, etc. So there are some priests, very open-minded, and they invited us without any doubt. And there are also some priests who can cancel your concert 2 days before this event because they discovered that you will sing and you will adore another form of God, you know. So it has happened. Wow, we come really through some challenges in this. Well, but what can I add more?
The recent success, you had an amazing concert, again with standing ovation. And there was a mention of some elderly lady giving her...
Yes, this was, you know, this was beautiful, let's say, sign of Swami who protect us, who guide us, who really love us. You know, I never understand how it could happen that the people like so much this program. Because always before program, I am depressed. I said, how you can think like this? You are not in tune. You do not this properly. You know, I'm rather, let's say, perfect. So I ask them to practice and practice and practice and we practice. But sometimes, especially before concert, it's always happens something that I said, no, we cannot perform like this. Okay. Only Swami can help us. And then it's happened always something on the concert. They sing like angels. And you know, this love which is generated from them to Swami. It's spread to all over the public. And this is the reason why the public treats us with standing ovation and love. This is the only reason. And I used to say to the members, if we lost our love, I will not guide the choir, because the choir has success not because of
music. It's the love.
But because of the love.
Definitely.
And this is really, you know, of course, I have always between songs and before concert, I have some short talk. It depends from the public.
Mm.
But I, because of his help, I always find words which this particularly public needs. And I bring his message about unity, about non-violence, about human values, about love, which is in base of all religions, as we know. But for them, and you know, this is something new, and quite always after the concert, the most beautiful the feedback which we get is that, you know, Maria, we never participate and we never hear about religions and love put together in such beautiful way. This was one of the most beautiful lesson of unity of religion and love. So, and this is,
I think that's the message Europe and the rest of the world needs, because right now, the way the demographics in Europe are changing, it is hard for people to equate religion with love. It's more to do with supremacy and anger and war and ideology. So I think you bring a fresh breath of air into the whole scenario, where a lot of refugees are coming into Europe, and the original population of Europe is not growing at the rate at which the refugee population is growing,
of
a different religion, of a different background, from a different ethnicity. So under those dynamics, I think this is very, very needed and timely.
Exactly. And this, you can see the side of Baba, his will, because this is exactly what we should
do. He's catering to exactly what the need is.
Yes, in this point. And I tell you, we face so many problems now with the refugees here. Not only problems that we suddenly grow in population, but this ethnic problems, the race problem, the everything, you know. And I, on the other hand, if people, you know, answer so wonderful for our message, it means they understand. They are just hungry for this kind of knowledge. Because if they will not like it, if they will not feel it, if they will not need it, they will stay up and say, what they are singing about, it's some craziness, you know, we don't want it, they stay to the end. They do not want us to get out of the stage. They cry. And as you mentioned, this was this Rotary Club in Poland who organized our concert for hospice for children. And they expected to have around 4,000 people. So they went in one city, they went to a priest, there's a huge, huge church, and then this priest was so happy to have the choir and to have this concert for this goal, the hospice for children. 2 days before, another priest, out of, I don't know, I don't want to describe jealousy or whatever, he called to higher priest, bishop, and he told him, do you know that in your church, in front of the altar, there is a choir who will sing and adore Allah, God, Krishna, you know, all kind of names? And this bishop immediately called and forbid this concert to take place in the church. We came, we didn't know about it. And this group of the Rotary Club, they were like, you know, shocked. They don't know what to do, how to do, because it was posters all over, etc. And we got from the majority of this city, we got a beautiful, huge hall for 400 people maybe, but not for 4,000 people. So the old people stood behind because there was no space and place. And could you imagine, this is the game of Swami also, the Leela. We always work silence. We don't need any publicity, any popularity. But on this moment, because of this event, we start to be so popular. Because everybody wants to know what is the choir, what is it, what they sing, what they sing, why they forbid them to sing in the church, you know.
So whatever happens, happens for the good.
Absolutely.
Including what looked like a setback, it worked for you.
You must see there was a special website when all the people wrote how the priest can forbid something like this. This was for children. What they think, you know, etc., etc. Many, many people wrote about, you know.
So there's such a growing awareness for this sort of thinking.
This is the way of Swami. Yeah. You see, this is unbelievable. And finally, we've done the concert, and the concert was really unexpected good success, you know, because this atmosphere was growing. Yeah. You know, the curiosity was growing, etc. So the applause was big, and people cry really. And then on the end of this one lady, 8 years old, she was brought to the stage. I was still on the stage. She was brought to the stage, and she withdrew to voice first. She caught me. The conductor, please come here. And I was, oh my goodness, what I have done. Something, you know, because, and she looked at me and said, you know what you have done? And I said, no, I'm sorry, what I have done. You make me crying all this concert.
Aww.
You know, you awaken. I cannot imagine how I was so blind. I can now understand much more. And take it, please take it from me. And she took out of her a beautiful chain with a big crystal from Swarovski, crystal cut. Really beautiful.
So this necklace has a locket, which is a crystal cat,
crystal cat in
Swarovski exactly. Crystal. Wow.
Yes. And they take it and she says, this is for you. And of course I refuse. I cry with her. I says, no, please don't do it. Don't do it. It's enough for me that you say thank you, that you love it. This is such
so elderly.
And she says, I was the one who established this Rotary Club.
Oh.
I am 80 something, I don't remember exactly, 3 or something, and I don't have with me nothing else. This is the only good things which I have, the treasure. I want you to take it as a memory what you have done to me, what the choir have done.
So beautiful.
So I took it. Yes, this is, as I mentioned in the interview for the bulletin also, you know, this was many, many surprises. Like, for instance, you know, as it was going so well with the members from different Baltic countries, they came minus 20, snow, very high snow, winter. They came every month for 2 days rehearsal to Warsaw.
And how do you manage their stay, accommodation, food?
You know, food, no problem. In Warsaw is big center, so people...
Oh, there's a size center.
Yes, there's a size center, okay. Of course. And accommodation we share between us. In my house, always sleep between 9 to 13 people. Okay. Thanks God, I got this house from Swami and I can accommodate so many people. By others also. And some of them use hostels or not very expensive, yeah, if there is no. So, but you know, this dedication, the people are coming really far away.
On their own expense, in their own time. There must be such a pull, the divine pull. I think the divine within them is inspiring them and prompting them. In today's world, no one wants to do anything which is not for self-interest. So, you know, it's so rare, so refreshing to hear of this.
Yes, I will tell you once, we sang in church, very open priest in Poland.
See.
Beautiful, you can see on website also this part of this concert. And this priest was so much surprised that we do not want any money, that we pay ourselves for the journey from Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, you know, UK. Even we have one guy from Holland. This is very famous Hindu multi-instrumentalist and singer Drunanku. He is also part of our choir, very humble person. He is coming to us. And, you know, at this priest, on the end of his speech, he appreciates, he wants, thanks us from bottom of his heart. And he spoke so beautiful. And he says, you know, to the all people gathered there, could you imagine those people came so far away with their own money? They don't want from us nothing, no food. They will pay for the accommodation. They just came out, act of heart, and they want to give us love. So I think there is, on the end, I put some boxes. We can collect some money for them to participate in the cost of the journey. And could you imagine, I do not say one word, all the choir suddenly say, no, no, thank you. We don't want any support. Thank you so much.
That really is the transformation Swami brings in people's hearts. So selfless, my God.
Yes, yes, yes. They may use it, yeah?
Yeah, everybody can use money.
And I do not mention no one words. I was so much surprised. This was, for my heart, it was the biggest prize, you know, after this work. Because all of them, out of nothing, they said, no, thank you so much. Don't collect money for us. We don't want money. We've done it from our heart. Yeah. So it's so many examples, and really, like, you know, I mentioned also that this choir united people from our region. And once I decided to make a tournée and take our people, I thought we have 5 countries, yeah? Why not involve all of them for this work? So I thought the members of the choir, they will travel to Estonia to give concert, to Finland give concert, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland already we've done many times. But what with those who are not members of the choir? They should be also somehow involved. So I have been asking them to prepare. Those who are not members of the choir, they should prepare posters, concert hall, organize, you know, some accommodation, some everything. So all the region was involved in this journey, you know, is the, let's say, called tournée or something like this. And everyone in the region has done some work. And we have beautiful concerts, beautiful and the most unusual and extraordinary we have in Helsinki and Finland. I may say we have 2 concerts. One for the public, and then in Finland, in the Sai Center, there is one elderly lady, and they call her Rap Grandma.
Rap Grandma?
Exactly.
Is she a rapper?
Yeah, she's a rapper in human values.
Phenomenal.
She wrote a rap because she wants to attract her grandchildren.
So she wrote the raps.
She wrote the raps and human values, you know. Beautiful.
She's a rocking grandma.
Yes, absolutely. And she even has her program, and she has CDs, etc. And in Finland, she's quite famous. But she is also serving in a house for, let's say, for some addicted people, called, yeah?
With addictions.
With addictions, right. Exactly. People who has been, or are still, have faced the problem with alcohol and drugs,
yeah,
etc. And she was begging us to come to this house and give concert for those patients, let's say. And we, of course, we accepted. We said, why not? We are going whenever they ask us. So we came for this house. Could you imagine happens that most of them were drunk. They cannot participate in any program. Some of them left already because of... And for our concert came one man. He was sitting, dressing nice, and waiting for the concert. And we sang for him. We haven't done full the program, but we sang for him, and we saw this transformation going in this man. On the beginning, he was sitting like somebody ask him or push him or told him to be.
Yeah.
So he was not interested, but he was sitting. So we said, okay, we are doing for the for this grandma, for her, because she was asking us, and for this man. And through our song, through our program, this man start to shine. Really, he was happy, he was clapping, he was shining with love, you know. This was unbelievable. And we always remember this concert which we have done to one person. So now when we have recently given concert in Satya Sai School in Rishikesh, because of some, I don't understand this problem, the posters were too late distributed, or the information were too late distributed. It was mostly the boys and children from the school and some teachers, maybe 2-3 parents, no more. Although they expected the hall will be full. And we came, and 36 of us, and we, not many public, but we always says to ourselves, so what? We have sung for one person, we can sing for it's no problem. So
Swami is there in the audience, always listening. That
he
one person
is the most important.
If you sing for Swami, it doesn't matter how many human heads are there.
Exactly. This was also a sign from Baba. I coming back to Helsinki. After this concert for this one person, the Helsinki, the Finland national president, he invited all of us to one cafe close to the sea. And it started to be rain. And all the sky was covered by double rainbow.
Nice sign.
This was, we cry, you know, the people in the cafe do not understand why we are so happy with the rainbow and why we are so emotional with the rainbow. But this was for us such a beautiful sign, you know, from Swami. Yeah, after this concert for the one person. And also, this is a many, many, many stories, but one of the most touching stories is also with some Belarus family. We give concert in Riga, in Latvia, this is the capital of Latvia. And, yeah, as I may say, as usual, it was full of tears and people give us standing ovation and they were full of love, etc. And when we left this concert hall, one group of people has been waiting for me, or for us, and a lady came to us with her husband and she says, full of tears, I want to appreciate so much. I need to tell you what you have done with your concert. She says, wow, again, what's happened? And she says, there are two parts of our family. One lives in Finland. One lives in Belarus still. And we decided to meet in Riga because of some family quarrel and some family problems. And out of blue, we noticed the poster. There will be some concert by international choir. So we thought, okay, let us see what it will be. It's free of charge. First of all, we don't need to pay. So let us spend an afternoon on the concert. And this concert helped us and opened our hearts so much that during the concert, we all united. We all forgive each other. We all start to understand each other and we all start to send love to each other. We do not expect nothing like this coming here to connect our people or to talk or to find, you know, some solution for our quarrel. But this concert united us in love so much. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So this was one of the biggest touching miracle which Swami can show us.
Truly. And we never know the impact of any good act we are doing, how far reaching it can be, because what we forget sometimes is the fact that anything that is happening right through us is happening because of Swami's grace. Swami is only using us as an instrument.
Absolutely.
And He's emitting His love and His grace to God knows who is there out there, who needs it, and how it is having an impact on somebody sitting in the audience. So the whole thing is so beautifully managed by the Lord Himself.
This is unbelievable. You know, we discover this by every concert
that you do,
that we do. You know, this is unbelievable. This out of this, what we sing and, you know, how we perform, what is going around this concert. And
its impact in so many different ways.
Yes.
We can't read that. Swami has already planned who will sit in the audience, what the concert will do for them. That is all master planning. But for you to play this role and to be the instrument of Baba in his hands as the conductor of the Sarvadharma Choir, which has now become such an international sensation, especially across Europe and in Prashanthi Nilayam, there has to be a story of where you're coming from and how you were chosen for this role. So it would be very nice if we can now talk perhaps about yourself. When did Baba come into your life? What were the circumstances?
Sai Ram, dear listener, what you just heard was the first part of a Tryst with Divinity conversation with Ms. Maria Kwas and Sister Karuna that was recorded in July of 2019. The second part of this conversation will be brought to you next week on Divine Glory. Dear listener, you could send us your feedback as always to listener@radiosai.org. You could also WhatsApp us to this number 9393258258. With this, we come to the end of this morning's segment, Divine Glory on Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam. It's me, Team Radio Sai Sunil, signing off, offering this segment at the Divine Lotus Feet of our dear Lord Sai, and leaving you with some music to enjoy. At 11:30, Brother Bishu will join you with his segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you for staying tuned, and Jai Sai Ram.
तव गुण गायक कृपावंत हो प्रभु गुण ग्राहक प्रसाद हाथी घेऊ
सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे सद्गुरु ब्रह्म सनातन हे परम दया घन पावन हे परम दया घन पावन हे जन्म ज दुख विनाशन हे जन्म ज दुख विनाशन हे जगदोद्धारण कारण हे रहे सोहम ध्यान करो ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साईं ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साईं ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साईं ध्यान करो
सोहम ध्यान करो करो सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सद्गुरु साई ध्यान करो
सोहम ध्यान करो सोहम ब्रह्मा सोहम विष्णु सोहम साई ध्यान करो
सोहम साई ध्यान करो
सोहम आत्मा शिव परमात्मा
Thank you. पदारविन्दं मुखारविन्दे विनिवेशयन्तं करारविन्देन पदारविन्दं मुखारविन्दे विनिवेशयन्तं वटस्य पत्रस्य पुटेशयानं बहिर्गतायां व्रजनायिकायां भूत्वा